Welcome to Straight Talk on Health. I'm your host, Dr. Chet Solasko. Straight Talk on Health is a joint production together with WGVU in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I examine the practical application of health information, nutrition, exercise, diet, supplements. I look at the science behind them and let you know whether it's something to consider or not. You can check out other things that I do on my website, drchet.com, and please sign up for my free emails. In 2005, I read a scientific paper that changed my research life. The paper was titled "Why Most Published Research Findings Are False" by Dr. John Ioannidis. The focus was on medical and health research. Now, when your emphasis is preventive health habits like mine is, with exercise, diet, and supplementation, it provided a way to assess research. I assessed research studies by using some of the identifiers of good or poor research, and especially the research findings that Ioannidis provided in that paper. The author, John Ioannidis, became one of my heroes, for lack of a better word, as he's much younger than I am. That all changed a few years ago as the COVID epidemic began. When listening to a podcast from Michael Lewis, the author of Moneyball and other books on the mortgage crisis of 2008, I heard him talk about a study conducted in Santa Clara County at the start of the pandemic. It involved one of the first COVID tests on how many people were afflicted with the virus and what were their outcomes. Researchers from Stanford, including Ioannidis, reported that many more people had had the virus without knowing it. With only two people having died so far in that county, Ioannidis suggested that based on the findings of just very limited testing of this COVID test, no more than 10,000 people would ever die from COVID. But it didn't end there. There were serious questions about the study results. The first issue related to the specificity and sensitivity of the test itself. The reasons given in some of the background material I read are beyond my understanding of high-level stats. But what I can tell you is that assumptions had to be made about the test itself. And if they were in error, the entire paper would be jeopardized. The second was how subjects were recruited by Facebook. The fear was that people who had symptoms at one point would want to be tested, and that would skew the results and show what? That more people had COVID that didn't have symptoms and certainly didn't die. So what does that have to do with fallen heroes? Ioannidis became a fixture in the alternative opinion show world. He continued to say that no more than 10,000 Americans would ever die from COVID. When the deaths rose to over 100,000, he raised his estimate to 40,000. And then he began to say something that caught on everywhere. People weren't dying of COVID. They were actually dying of heart disease, diabetes, and other diseases with COVID. Now, I don't really know whether he was the first to say it, but I still hear that today. It doesn't make it any truer now than it was then. If there had not been a virus, over a million people in the U.S. would not have died with their gasping last breath saying, "I don't have COVID." We can all be susceptible to the spotlight, or the likes, or the subscribes, or the adulation of people into whose hands you are falling. At some point, we got to wake up and stop that. He never did wake up. Now, it doesn't make his original thesis about research studies wrong. It just means you have to question every word he says from now on, because you really can't be certain on whether it's based on science or not. Just sad. Moving on. I watched a video of a guy who was in his mid-30s who said he was going to live forever. Part of his routine was eating over 200 grams of protein every day. That's grams, not calories. That includes 13 eggs every day. Personally, I wouldn't want to spend time in an enclosed room with him with that much sulfur in his diet. I'm sorry to be the one to tell him that he's really not going to live forever. In reality, I don't know whether he will actually live well at any age he achieves because of the price of what he may be doing to his body right now. And he's not alone. I recently read about a tech billionaire who doesn't want to age. In fact, he wants to live forever as well. He has dedicated his fortune to that end, financing anti-aging research to understand the aging process. There's a Netflix documentary of his effort called Don't Die. That's really tied into his major accomplishment every day, which is Don't Die Today. I watched the movie just to get an insight into why he's doing what he's doing. He is known for his highly regimented routines. You want a peek? He gets up at 4:30 every morning. Everything for the next 4 hours is scripted, from hair care, face care, and on and on. He is a strict vegan. He also takes somewhere in the range of 110 to 120 dietary supplements broken into a couple times per day. He spends time doing high-intensity exercise, as well as various medical and pharmaceutical interventions. Some of the things he's done are way out there, and for sure out of the reach of non-billionaires. His home is outfitted with medical devices that the typical medical center might not have. He spends over $2 million a year trying not to die and trying to reverse aging. I think it's worth watching because the one thing he has correct is that he has a positive and regimented lifestyle. I don't think it needs to be that intense, but he is funding research as well as being its guinea pig. Personally, I came away feeling sad, even though the science part was intriguing. He was clear that he hasn't always been the best human being, and it has cost him relationships. He's maturing and has reestablished relationships with one of his sons and his father. But as he's grown, he really seems to enjoy those viral videos and growing number of followers he's accumulating in his marketing campaigns. As long as that doesn't become the reason he's doing what he's doing, he should be okay. We'll have to see whether the lure of the lights misdirects his attention. What next? A commercial I saw while on the elliptical trainer at my fitness club. I couldn't hear it, but someone was pitching an omega-3 fatty acid blend that would relieve your joint pain. It might even heal some conditions that ail you. I'm thinking, they can't say those things. Neither the FDA nor the FTC would ever allow it. It was one of those infomercials that looks like a fake talk show. The only reason I think it was playing was that it was on a private network the club uses. Which brings up something people fail to understand about dietary supplements. You are very limited about what you're allowed to say on the product labels, the product website, or in any advertising about a product. The statement that you may find in the bottom of ads or the label you can barely read that says, "This product has not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease." The government really enforces that. So while products may use testimonials, they are careful about the verbiage they use or they can be shut down. So when I got home, I searched for the website and found it. Not one word about pain or cures. Then I searched for FDA warnings. Sure enough, back in 2021, the FDA told the company to cease and desist using specific words and phrases while pitching their products on the website, or they would have to shut down business in 30 days. Why did I do this segment? So that you understand that there is government oversight for dietary supplements. It's different than for pharmaceuticals, but it exists to avoid the snake oil of 150 years ago. Finally, let's leave on a positive note. Fish sauce. If you want to enhance the flavor of just about anything you cook, put in a splash or two of fish sauce. I have an Asian market down the street, so that's where I got mine. It's going to change your life. Well, maybe, if you're not allergic to seafood. It will give you that elusive umami and salty flavor you need to enhance the taste of your food. Give it a try. And that's it for this episode. If you like the podcast, please hit the like button and tell your friends and colleagues about it. Until next time, this is Dr. Chet Solasko saying, health is a choice. Choose wisely today and every day.